Welcome to Wellness Spring. Get ready for an inspiring episode as you hear the remarkable stories of Alessandro and Sophie, two individuals who defied odds and healed themselves naturally when the doctors told them it wasn't possible. They're now on a mission to help others become the best version of themselves. Tune in to discover how fate brought them together and how they developed their unique, extraordinary healing formula, rooted in ancient wisdom, proven by science, and brought to life through their own remarkable success. Welcome, Alessandro and Sophie, to Wellness Spring. I'm so happy to have you both on the show.
Thank
Thank
you,
you, Beverly.
Beverly, for having us. It's such a pleasure to be here and exchange some open-minded
Conversation.
yes.
Oh, it's an absolute breath of fresh air from our earlier conversations and reminiscing on our time in Italy, where you're from, Alessandro, and just remembering our life on the water and heading on our new chapter for life on land, which the beautiful Sophie has experienced. So we've got so much to talk about, and I absolutely love your video, A Story of Tragedy to Triumph, a story of overcoming the imaginable. And the both of you have gone through so much trauma and tragedy. It's incredible. So why don't we start with you, Alessandro? Tell us what happened before your accident and leading up to the accident and, during the accident on your motorbike.
But before the accident, I feel grateful for the life that I always had and for my parents, the education, and where I grew up. So we're talking about Italy. I live in Australia now, but originally coming from a little village of, at that time, only 3,000 people on Lake Como, so close to Switzerland. And I grew up not with a big land. We were talking about your next chapter, but I felt like, because in that village, we had a lots of little community and a lots of space between the lake and the mountains. We got the bush. We could go snowboarding in winter and we could swim in a lake in summer. And so I had a lots of freedom in that sense. And I grew up playing sports because movement for me equal feeling great. There's nothing better than that. And I started when I was five, competing in soccer, then kept going with basketball as well, then skiing, swimming, snowboarding later, volleyball, you name it. But I had also a huge passion for motorsports. So I grew up with bikes as well. I had some gap. But when I was 21, I bought my, at that time, my most powerful and fastest bike. And my smile was like that. There's nothing like it. The feeling that you have, it's a sense of freedom. We were talking about the land for you, and people need to retreat and be in nature. For me, it's a very similar effect when I have my suit on, my helmet on, and there is a speed. Of course, speed, do it safe, do it on the track, not on the speed. But when you get the feeling, the focus is so much together with the enjoyment and the fun that doesn't matter what kind of problems you have, you're living, trauma, whatever is in your head is like out of your head and out of the helmet. So it gives me that speed, it gives me a sense of peace. It's not stressful at all. And I had a lots of fun, but for a few years, but when I was 26, one day, I wasn't doing anything stupid, so everything can happen anytime. That's another lesson. I was on my lunch break from work, and it was the 30th of October, so autumn in Italy, 2006. And I had just 10 minutes to go home, have lunch, and go back to work. I never got home basically, because on the way home I had that accident. It wasn't really my fault, but I got, bad injuries. I end up to be in a coma, and then when I woke up, I couldn't walk for big problems on my right leg. And then consequently, after that, later, I had problems on my back. So it was a long journey. But what happened during that process that I think I'm grateful that I had that, my mind, my mindset never ever dropped a second to anything negative. So even when they told me, or the doctor, the physio told me that I maybe couldn't walk, or I could not have a normal life, or I couldn't play sports again, maybe I could limping, who knows? I never trust that. I never believe that. I always have my mind of, no, I want to travel. I want to have kids. I want to live my life. I definitely want to go back on the bike. So my mind was always on the positive and always of what I wanted to achieve.
Forward thinking.
Yeah, so that I think was the first thing that helped me, because I knew exactly what I wanted. I just didn't know how yet, because I didn't have the right people, the right professionals around me that I needed at that time. I just needed to find them, and then put together all the dots to say, okay, I have a little bit of solution from the physiotherapy here. I have a little bit of solution of the blood circulation here. I can improve my diet for healing. I can make myself stronger when I will get back on my feet. All of this together was a process of 10, 11 years for me. Not to go back on my feet, that took me a year or so, to
And what
feel
was
quite.
involved in the rehabilitation? Because you've covered a lot
Rehabilitation,
here.
as I was saying, I didn't have what I needed. So I had the strength to put together different things. So I was driving in a private rehabilitation center close to Milan just to work on my leg mobility, because my mobility was only 3% at that time. I could only move that much, my leg. So we're working on reducing the trauma and the hematoma and improving the blood circulation and do lots of passive stretching. It was a bit painful. But naturally, my body was telling me, I was very connected, which was the right way, which was the wrong way. And I started to listen.
But of course, he had, all his experience with the body already, so he knew what to look for, knew what to program for himself.
So, for example, at the hospital, they were started to give me injections for the blood circulation. My body, at the beginning, they started to do it like on directly on my arm, and after a few days, the needles start breaking it. Like my body was becoming so rigid that it was telling me, "I don't want that. I refuse that." And at the beginning, of course, I was a bit powerless because I was coming up from the coma and I was in a hospital and I didn't have really choices straight away. But I understood in a few days what it was not working, or what I didn't want it, or what my body didn't want it. And I discharged myself after 2 weeks and I took responsibility of my journey. And I started.
Incredible. And how many days were you in the coma for?
Just one day in a coma. So, been like one day, or one, I don't remember exactly, but it's less than 2 days. And when I woke up, I remember that I, because I was present for the whole accident, I remember every little second. And until they transported me to the hospital, and that's when I probably felt the shock, and my body needed to shut down in order to heal. And when I woke up, I was looking around and I didn't know where I was. I remember that I was seeing lots of doctors, but I was in ICU, of course, and everything was sealed. I didn't have my parents around. Only one person at the time of the visitors of the family could come in every now and then. And I remember I saw the doctors and I said, "Where am I?" And then I started slowly to look at my body, and there are lots of tubes, pipes.
Wow.
I remember the first feeling I asked. I don't know why I asked, can I go to the toilet? I need to go to the toilet. And they said, no, don't worry. It's all automatic. You don't need to go anywhere
Yeah.
because you can't move. And I said, what do you mean automatic? I said, yes, if you see the pipe and you see this, and you know, it's all working in automation, and when your bladder will be full, it will empty. And I was trying to figure it out at the beginning. You can imagine coming out from the coma. It
Yeah.
takes your time to start functioning and understanding where you are, what happened. And then I didn't understand. I was trying, like, okay, how that works. It was a new experience. And I was trying actually to push, like when you go to the toilet and it wasn't working. So then when I stopped suddenly, I felt something that it was coming out, but it's like I was feeling powerless because I wasn't in control of that.
That gave me motivation.
That gave me the motivation because I don't like that. I want to be in control.
That's incredible because, as a registered nurse, I know it's, I've experienced a lot of people having traumas, and most of them, some of them, could freak out and start crying and screaming and not coming to terms with it. But for you, you stayed positive the whole way through. And that's just remarkable. And what type of things would you tell yourself, like, I can do it, or what was your positive self-talk?
As I said, I probably because I think sports helped me a lot. So be
Yeah.
competitive. You, if you want to win or if you want to try to do your best, at that time, as a I was quite stable in my family, so I didn't have a lots of many things to think about it. Like I would, my parents were really supportive in everything that I did, as far as was doing the right thing, of course, and I didn't need any self-talk. I was just focused on what I wanted because it was a wake-up call. In
Yeah.
one second, everything that was granted, it wasn't anymore. So even when I went out of the coma and they moved me in a normal hospital bed, they moved me in a normal room. I was sharing the room, by the way, so that's something that I didn't like as much because I couldn't move. So even going to the toilet or not going to the toilet actually, because there was a nurse that was coming at that time that every time I was asking if she could please help me to go to the toilet because I need it, she said, no, you can do it there. You know, there is the
Yeah.
pot. There's no way you're gonna do it there. He said, can you please help me? Because I don't feel comfortable. And I knew how important it was to get, you know, the movement
Movement.
for health, for the organs, for the stress that you accumulate in your body. So I
Yeah.
said, can you please bring it to the toilet? I said, no, she was actually very nasty. She was like very against that. If I was saying, can I please do that? They didn't accept it. I said, no, you're going to stay there. So then one day, after 2 or 3 days that I couldn't go to the toilet, I was feeling bad and bloated, and I couldn't move my leg yet. And
Wow.
even the other one was a bit injured. And I stand up myself with just the power of the upper body. And slowly, slowly, in a couple of hours, even if it was just 2 meters or 3 meters, one piece at a time, and it was by myself, I reached the door of the toilet. I opened up. And when I was sitting to the toilet, the nurse came in and she said, what are you doing? Very angry with me. And instead to help me that I was there, she said, go back to your bed and you know all these things. I say, I closed the door and I sat
Yeah.
and I said, no, I need to stay to be here because I'm not comfortable. It's not gonna happen in the bed. So
Yeah.
all of the things for me are waking up call as well as having a shower. You know, I didn't like someone come in and wash me. I was feeling like
Yeah.
almost dead in my lower body. And I said, no, I didn't have any reason or any necessity to have a self-talk. I just
Okay.
say, that's what I want. Let's find a way.
Wow, that's incredible. And just to have that power and determination to get up and with the strength of your upper body, I've got goosebumps. And when you signed yourself out, Were the doctors, trying to make you stay in hospital? Were your parents okay with you being signed out? Because I'm sure they would have tried to encourage your parents for you to stay.
Yes, they tried, but my parents, again, they were supportive, and for two reasons. One, because they were not seeing any results. So the physiotherapist was coming only 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, sometimes twice a day, but pretty much checking on me, ticking some flags and doing nothing and then go. And I was asking her lots of questions, like, what can I do? And I remember she said, like, oh, just do some stationary bike, half an hour a day. And I say, first of all, I can't move my leg. How can I do a stationary bike? I need to work on reduce the hematoma, reduce the trauma, and start to work on the stretching. Because if I do that, basically I broke all my muscles around the femur. So you have lots of scar tissues in the muscles. And I knew that with the calcification, if I was waiting longer, then probably I was proved them right and I couldn't move my leg. And I knew that I had to do something different. So my parents saw that. And of course, they trusted me and what I was asking and
And
what I
encourage.
felt, yeah, my knowledge, but also what I felt that it was right or wrong. So when I signed, I discharged myself, I was still on the wheelchair. I went home. And even if I couldn't walk, we had the car park inside our property. And then you had to walk probably, 20, 30 meters to go to the door and then go up. But downstairs, there is a garage. And I was so worried about my motorbike that I asked to go and see my bike and the condition that it was before to go up, even if I didn't have much energy. And I did that. And then for me, it was like sad and motivating at the same time.
So, what state was your bike in? So, talk us through the accident. What really happened? Because you said you were present.
Yes, what happened basically, I had a car in front of me. We were going in the same direction and was behind. She, and of course, in Italy, you drive on the other side. She put at one point was a slightly long corner, but you could see very far away. So she was slowing down, and then she put the lights, the side lights, the indicator to get off the road. So I slowed down as well. And basically, if this is the car and this is me, we were coming, she went to the point that, okay, I get to get off the road. So we both decelerated. As soon as she was off, I accelerated again to go. And once I accelerated, she went back in. But because it was too late to stop, it happened thousands of times. When you ride a motorbike, it happened a lot, especially in Italy, that there is more people, more traffic. So you get used to it, your senses, your reacting time. So it happened many times. So what I thought is, okay, she's getting back in. I can't stop, it's too late. I just pass on the side. So I went in the other side. There was no other cars coming, and there was the freeway. It was the freeway to the only way to escape. The problem was that she didn't just back in, she was crossing. Because I had no idea about that, because basically she was going in her house, and instead to go in the right way that you go closer to the middle line and then turn, she went out and then completely crossed. So at that time, I found myself in the other side of the road with a car completely in front of me. And even if I had no time, my reaction time was so quick that I'm grateful for that I pulled the front brake as much as possible. My bike went like that. And because the sports bike, they have a tank in, you are kind of sit below the tank in a sports bike. If I wouldn't do that maneuver, I was 100% paralyzed because I would have break my hips, my pelvis, everything. But because I was like that, I hit the car and flew away. And I hit the car with my right leg. So that was my saving.
Saving grace.
Yeah.
And what advice would you give to bike riders, if they have an accident? Because obviously, like most people who take risks, they're thrill seekers, and you're not going to stop them. Like you say, you come alive. Having worked with so many extreme athletes, I know it's like, ooh, it's magic. So they're not going to stop doing the extreme sports, but accidents are inevitable. So what advice would you give them for their recovery?
Well, that's very clear. First of all, if you want to work on prevention, you don't have to give up of your passion. So if you like speed, but do it in the right way, in the right environment. There are tracks for that. So if you do more on the track, you feel less need of speed on the road. Or maybe you don't go at all on the road. It depends where you live, really. You want to assess the risk, because even if you go slow, the risk is there. For the recovery, my best advice is, as our body is all connected, don't rely just on one thing or one therapy or one
Modality.
product, one modality, but you need to find a holistic approach, because basically that's what I needed at that time and I didn't have. And I had to find myself so many different things and put it together, included to my studies, my mistakes, and figure it out. But because I was strong-minded and well-connected, I could navigate it, but lots of people are not. So that's why we created Vital Health NHP, is because basically we now created and have the possibility, give the opportunity for the people that they want to recover to give what we didn't have, but we needed at that time. So work holistically in every pillar. You need to work on your rehab, but you need a specific nutrition for healing, which is very different than a normal nutrition for maintenance or a nutrition for losing weight
Or
or a
strength.
general health nutrition. You need, if you're not strong enough, someone that you can shift your limiting beliefs instantly and have a strong mindset, because where we put our mind, that's where we go. If we started to
Exactly.
doubt ourselves, and we believe that either way, we believe that we can or we can't, we either way right. So which
Exactly.
way we want to, we choose to go, that's very important. So you need your recovery time, even your sleep, which is affected from your stress mentally as well. You need the right people around that support you. So sometimes you need to be strong enough that maybe in that time that yourself is a priority. If there are some people that they don't believe in you and then support you need to put some boundaries and keep them out. So there are so many elements that is never one thing.
And also, we have to think of prevention too. When people are, doing extreme sports, their health and strength is imperative. They need to be responsive. That was one of his saving graces too, that his reaction time was very fast. You've got to be clear in your mind and aware, have an awareness of your body. And so, the more connected you are with your body, naturally, that's where that connection comes from, that awareness, that great awareness. So if you are under the influence of drugs or medications even, you're limiting your
Well,
capacity.
your senses, they don't work at
No.
capacity.
Yeah, and if you're tired as well,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely.
So before we dive into the vital health and in NHP, what you're doing. Can you tell us what trainings you personally did? Because obviously you were a personal trainer, but now you've working holistically, and I'm big on holistic health because we are part of the whole. So you can't just treat a symptom, you have to look at the big picture. So what training did you do, Alessandro?
So definitely, yes, we need to work holistically. And luckily, I started study. Well, I was in sports when I was since I was 5, but then when I was 20, I had my first diploma as a PT. But then after that event, I used that knowledge, but I started to study more neuroscience. I started to study more. The human body connected to the organs and to health and movement for longevity and efficiency. And then discover with Sophie the nutrition that is different, is living nutrition. So that the training, it needs to be about priorities. So that's when I went from being a personal trainer to an holistic health and performance specialist. At the beginning, the first goal, you need to understand what is coming first. It depends on the injury. In my case, I had to reach the mobility first and avoid the calcification of the muscles, because that would have limited my movement and also my strength. So it means a lot of passive stretching that I had to do regularly. Definitely don't stay sit, even if I could, and get the mindset, like even after the wheelchair, for example, I was coming back from the physiotherapy. But as I said before, I didn't rely just on that. That was just 40 minutes a day, let's say. So what do you do the rest of the day? You need to keep nourishing, nurturing what you do. So on the way back, I was stopping in a public pool, and I was, because in absence of gravity, I could start moving slowly. So that's still a movement. So everything is proportional where you're at in the journey and create the path. After that, I was going home, and when I could start working with the crutches, I was going around the little track that I used to go to warm up myself before other sports. And by running, it used to take me between 7 and 8 minutes. The first time that I did it with the crutches, it took me 3.5 hours. But every day, I had the mind to say, okay, tomorrow's going to be one less minute. And that's how it was, because everything that it was motivating me to move, instead to, oh, I done my physiotherapist today, I could stay on the couch and watching TV. My ex-boss was calling me and say, hey, now you're out of the hospital, you can stay sit, you work in the office, come and work, you can work. I say, no, my job is not done. The priority is my health now. It's not because I've never been lazy, I never missed a day at work in my life, but you can understand basically what's a priority in your journey. So once I reached my mobility, I was working also like hot and cold, hot and cold showers every day, twice a day on my leg for helping the blood circulation, because again, I didn't want any injections. I wasn't taking any medication. I was definitely be light on food, on things that I can digest easily. So most of the energy can go on healing. And then once I reached my complete full range of motion that I could stand, then was the time to rebuild. So then I started to hit the gym. And I remember I gave my mom a different nutrition. So I changed all the proportion because I was starting to train with a different intensity. And just to give you an idea, when I was fit for the accident, I was around 74 kilos, quite fit and lean. And
And how
after,
tall are you? Because some people will be listening in and
I'm
can't see your beautiful physique.
173 centimeters. I don't know in feet. And so I always had proportion between 173, 73 kilo, 74 kilo. Like that was my proportion always. After the accident, when I was able to stand up, but I lost all my muscles, I was 80 kilos, but losing all the muscles and gaining a little bit of fat. So, which means a big change for me. And again, because I was connected, I wasn't like obese or super fat. But I was feeling like if I was 90 years old. And that for me was enough to don't accept that. Because sometimes the motivation is not coming just for what you want, but from you do from what you don't want. I didn't want to feel that old. I want freedom. So then when I hit the gym, I said, okay, for 3 months, I gave my mom exactly the plan of how I was eating. And she trusted me. I just said, just. Because it was busy, then I was back to at work. I said, just buy those food, prepare this for me, and just get it ready every day. Don't worry about the rest. And one day on, one day off, because recovery is important, I was eating the gym, no matter what, consistently. So in 3 months, I was better than before. I went from 73, 74 kilos fit to 80 kilo fat with no muscle. to 80 kilo feet lean. So it was better than before.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then after that, cut back on nutrition and just be maintenance and back on sports, and the rest is another journey.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you said that you felt like a 90-year-old because I know personally I used to do sports massage and training with elite athletes. And I know your mood is everything. And when you exercise, you're releasing the happy hormones, the dopamine, the serotonin, and all the endorphins. And you get a natural high. So I think when you're happy, you're more likely to, love yourself and take care of your body and so forth. So it was great that in a short period of time, considering all the injuries that you sustained with your back and your legs, and to be super fit and better than ever. And
Yeah, that's absolutely. If we tap in our feeling, that's why even when
yeah.
I'm coaching people, either way, the athletes or normal people, I tap in their feeling because I know that if I can switch that, I
Yeah.
can switch everything. And also, even technically, if we start, even if we're lifting, but if we're lifting, I start technically, but then I ask them, I need to understand exactly how they feel. Because based on how they feel, I can change things to make them feel great and perfect. So I know 100% that when we reach them, they can only achieve results with not risk, not injuries. I never had injuries with
Yeah,
clients.
this is brilliant news. And a lot of athletes, when they retire and go into business, they're such an important part of the team because they know discipline. They know how to work as a team player. They know how to self-motivate. They know, how to stay dedicated and focused, because you mentioned focus a lot. And they're totally aware, when their disempowering beliefs start arising, how to rise above them. And Sophie, I know that you've got an incredible mindset also. Do you want to tell us about your journey?
Yes, so I began in natural health, well, learning about natural health myself at 15, when I had a small issue, health issue, and my mother took me to a naturopath. We went to the doctors, of course. The doctor told us things that we didn't agree with. And I thought, no, there has to be another way. So we went to a naturopath, and that was the beginning of my journey. And
And what
I did.
was your health issue, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, it was just I had swellings on my neck, it was the lymph glands, but of course the doctor wanted to do a biopsy. They did certain tests and those tests came back negative. So they wanted to do a biopsy, and I was dancing at the time, and so I was very self-conscious, 15-year-old, didn't want my neck cut into. And I said, let's go get a second opinion. So of course I did my first, went to the naturopath, did my first detoxing experience, did some fasting and had incredible results, and all symptoms went. And the balance, was restored. So that of course gave me great motivation, and I wanted to know more. So I began studying that on the side. Then of course I wanted to be always a psychologist, always interested in the mind and its capacity. So I was studying that academically. And still went on in that area because at the time I didn't have anyone else sort of saying, well, you could do more medicine. But I went on, became the psychologist, and but working conventionally. But then I was having my children, started to have children, and I was very much interested in home birth, knowing what I had already learned about the body's natural capacity and nature. And believing like nature was my God at that point in time. And so I thought, home birth, that's the way to do it. This is how nature intends. So I went down that path and had my first home birth experience with an amazing midwife, a sage femme from Quebec. And so that's like the highest qualification you can have in home midwifery. And that was just life changing. So I went on and had three more home births. So four children, one of them that I had on my own because the midwife couldn't get there in time. Another absolutely transformative experience. And all of these things were just building up my belief in the capacity of the human body and mind and nature's power. I was practicing, obviously, psychology at the same time, but I was always searching for the solution for people with mental imbalance, looking for the natural solution because it did not add up in my head that and make sense to me that people should have to live with, serious conditions like bipolar and schizophrenia and, of course, depression and anxiety and so on. Naturally, it didn't make sense to me. So I thought, even though lecturers and everyone I spoke to in that sort of fraternity said to me, no, people have to, you have to be able to support them with drugs through this. That's the only way they're going to live. I just wouldn't have it. Just didn't make sense. So as I went on raising my children, and I raised my children, I started studying naturopathy. And of course, that opened my mind even more. But still, there were questions unanswered. And I had my first child with a very serious condition, lead intoxication. And I was on that mission, to solve this naturally as well. And naturopathy just didn't give me all the answers for this. So then we moved to the country, as you know, for the sake of my eldest son, and to craft this lifestyle that would be fully supportive of him naturally to heal and recover, which we did, and it was amazing. But I always lived with a lot of stress in my life. So at 30 years of age, I developed a serious condition that got to the point of being life-threatening, and that was ulcerative colitis. And at first, I was just unbelieving, disbelieving of this because I'd never smoked or drank or, done drugs or done anything, poisonous to my body. I had always been, living as naturally as I could in a modern life. Of course, I had studied, so I'd been up late and, I'd had that sort of stress on my body. But still, it didn't make sense to me. And this led me to discovering, because of course, I got to a really bad situation, got to a really bad point. My marriage was on the rocks at that point in time because of my, inability to function the way I needed to function, to look after my children, to look after my husband, obviously, and fulfill, all the duties that I had. And I was, basically bedridden. I got to a point of being bedridden after 2 years and, trying to grab the sleep when I could get it, but I couldn't sleep much because of the pain, and I was bleeding every day, and it was really, really very difficult. And at that time, I was homeschooling, so my family was saying to me, "Sophie, you need to stop this. You need to go to the doctor. You need to go and get all the help that you can get, and enough of this journey. It's not working." Well, that was like a red rag to a bull. So, I was so determined to achieve what I wanted to achieve and what I believed in. So, I just said, look, give me 6 months. I said to my family, give me 6 months. And if I haven't found, the cure, if I haven't found my way out of this, then okay, my children go to school, I change everything and do what the doctors say, basically. But of course, I had no intention of doing that, just like Alex was saying. So that's, the common mental thread there, that it wasn't even an option to me. And I guess that's why home birthing worked for me as well, because, to me, there's never a backup plan. It is, if that's what I'm doing, that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to put everything in place. When you don't have backup plans, then you have to succeed or there's going to be trouble. So you better make sure that you put everything in place to succeed. So even with the home birthing, when my midwife said, this is what you do, that's what I did. I might question if I wanted to understand more and understand why, but I fully trusted in her knowledge and in obviously my body's capacity. So yeah, when it came to finding my cure, if you like, because the doctor that I was working with was not the everyday doctor. He was a brilliant doctor, environmental doctor in Brisbane. And he said to me at the time, because I had a new baby, 6-week-old baby, my third baby, and when I presented to the doctor, and he said to me, look, you are going to, yes, you can do certain things naturally, but you're going to have to take these medications first to get rid of the bacterial overgrowth. And you're going to have to stop breastfeeding to do that. And then you can do everything else naturally. Well, again, for me, that wasn't possible because I had this 6-week-old baby. I knew my baby needed my milk more than anything. Of course, with my understanding of the brain and the brain chemistry and the child's need, because I had been studying infancy, I was really very passionate about that in psychology. I said, no. I need to give this to my baby. So there has to be another way because, these medications, these drugs don't grow on trees. So how would it happen naturally? And so he sent me away and, gave me his pointers. But I said, I'll take it from here, just like Alessandro did as well. And it was absolutely by divine intervention, I am convinced that I happened upon an amazing book, and that a visitor had left at our property, a visitor who was visiting my mother, who also had her house on our land. And I started to read this one day, and it was incredible. There were things there that I had, questioned, and here were the answers, and it made total sense to me. And when I went into the references, I thought, I need to know more about this. So when I went into the references, that's where I happened upon the books of Dr. Herbert Shelton, who is the modern grandfather of the hygienic movement. And I thought, I need to know more. There's so much more, because this book that I was reading was based on weight loss. That was the focus, but it was from a hygienic perspective, which is why it lasted,
And
lasting
what was the
results.
book called?
Fit for Life. So Dr.
Ah.
Harvey Diamond. But there were things in there that, with the knowledge that I already had, and of course the naturopathic studies that I'd done, there were things in there that just negated a lot of what I had been taught. And I thought, well, of course, this, like I said, it just seemed logical. It was really logical. So I went and got Dr. Herbert Shelton's works and started to apply this to my own condition, and created my own healing protocol through that. And within, like I'm serious, within 1 month, all the pain had stopped. And I had this excruciating pain for 2 years. And within like 6, 8 weeks, The bleeding stopped. So, you know, these things were, and apart from the fact that I started to feel better, obviously, I started to feel, you know, more energy. So prior to this, I was on like $1,000 worth in those days. It was even a lot more, $1,000 worth of supplements from the environmental doctor every month. That's what he had given me. And that was to sort of, you know, and of course, it helped at that time to increase my, you know, ability to sleep a bit and a bit more energy in the day. But it was not finding, you know, that cure. It wasn't taking me further than that. It was like I just got to this plateau and I still have
So
pain.
can you please talk us explain to the listeners, because when we first met, I didn't know what natural hygiene was. Can you explain what it is and what your training was and so forth?
Natural hygiene is health science, and it's otherwise known as orthopathy. And orthopathy, coming from the Greek, you know, ortho meaning upright, and pathy, you know, pathology. So upright pathology, meaning that everything that the body does, it's always working towards life. It's always right action for what it's been given and, you know, the conditions that it's had to deal with. But so even disease is simply dis-ease in the body, and it is a healing crisis. It is the body trying to heal. And if the body has the right conditions, it will heal without a doubt. It's when it doesn't have all the conditions that it needs, which is why, as Alex said, you know, if you are just working on one pillar of health, it's not enough, because those conditions, you know, are based on the laws of nature and the laws that govern us. You know, so where our body is governed by those laws of nature. Our body also has cycles. You know, there are three cycles in the body, and if we don't work with those cycles with what we do, then we have limited results as well. So for that full healing potential, for that full power, the hygienists, you know, through all of their studies, and trials and tests, realize that when we're working, giving all those conditions, working with those cycles, that's when the healing power is unleashed and all things are possible.
Wonderful. And what are the three cycles?
Also, we've got the elimination cycle in the morning from 4 a.m. until midday. Then we've got the appropriation cycle, so midday until 8 p.m. And then the assimilation cycle from 8 p.m. until 4 a.m. the next day. So, you know, most of our eating, if we're following this, most of our eating is happening, needs to happen in that appropriation cycle. You know, so in the morning, what we need to have are light things. You know, we need to eat things in the right order in the day, and particularly when you're healing. So it doesn't mean that we're not going to survive if we, you know, eat all over the place. Obviously, people do, but we're not going to have the maximum energy. We're not going to have the clarity in our minds, and we're certainly not going to have the rest, the restorative rest that we should have. And in natural hygiene, like, these teachings have actually come, that it's a lot of it is ancient knowledge coming from the Ayurvedic scriptures, coming from the Essene scriptures, but a lot of it was hidden. It was hidden and kept to the select few. I guess what natural hygiene did for me was show me, like, it really talks about the two root causes. And when you get to those root causes, which is toxemia and enervation, like toxemia, modern medicine will talk about, of course, naturopathy will talk about, you know, Chinese medicine. But enervation is not something well known at all. And enervation is a really key factor in the formation of disease. You know, that's working on the nerve energy, talking about the nerve energy in the body. And sorry, we're just plugging in our cord.
Don't want to lose the battery.
So, so if the nerve energy, which is your vitality, if that's not high enough, then there's, you know, the body won't achieve the healing process. So right until death, you know, that death is a healing crisis too. So right until that point, the body is still working to survive. So this is
Wow.
very different, a very different approach to illness, you know, as opposed to the allopathic method where there's something wrong with the body and you need to give it something to
And
fix it.
I can add also add something because even on the performance side, mentally and
Yeah.
physically, if you want to feel unstoppable, as we say, it's like the cleaning, this way of eating, because it's following what the body would need and should have. So our body is full of millions of mechanoreceptors. These mechanoreceptors are everywhere, mostly on our hands, neck, head, and feet, but are everywhere. When we're not eating correctly, it's like if you those senses, the mechanoreceptors are kind of dusty. So the central nervous system and the brain cannot receive the same amount of data and not with the same speed. And because this is our computer, 90% of the things, even when we do it physically, but it happened because of this. So if we get more neurons that they travel and more messages, this is able to give messages back and instructions. So this is just executing what we have here. So if our nutrition is not a point, there is not that much. There is definitely less. So even if we think that we added our best, we're not, because they covered with dust. When we clean inside, but outside also is amazing the results because everything it feels like, oh, it's easier. You get more energy. You understand if you had to activate neuromuscular activation, something that is improving our balance, is improving our movement, the quality, our speed, everything.
The experience of your life is so much heightened, more heightened. So, you know, your sense of smell, your eyesight, you know, quality, your hearing, everything.
You're not foggy in your brain. You think clearer and faster. As a result, you also connect easier and faster with other people. You understand them better.
So this is how, you know, basically I went from, you know, being the stage before cancer to, you know, reclaiming my health, getting off all the supplements and being in a better position than I was before, through this process, which is what the body will do if it's, as we say, if it's given that, that chance. But it's not just nutrition, as you can see, it's also how you're eating, not just what you eat, but how you eat it based on the cycles, how you sleep. You know, the quality of your lifestyle is very, very important. And that's what both of us needed to change in order to have the recoveries that we had. And of course, the doctors were blown away because people with ulcerative colitis do not recover medically. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, well,
Perhaps that.
you both live in proof of what you experienced and how you dealt with it, that it works. And you're both glowing with radiant health and vitality. And like you both, I believe that none of us are diseased. We're just out of alignment, and
Exactly.
it's about putting ourselves back into alignment. And you talked about ancient wisdom and the secrets. And it's wonderful that you've stumbled across this method. I don't think anything, we didn't stumble. It was divinely aligned for you so that you can share this magic. And please tell us, how did you both come together? I know your life partners and business partners, obviously divine timing has united you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I went on to, as you said, these things need to be known because this, showed me there's so much power in this, and so many people around the world need to know this, need to have this knowledge. So I went on and did my internship with the Dr. Fielder, Dr. John Fielder in Australia, who I employed eventually to give me support in my journey. And then I part of that growth in myself, I opened an organic shop in that area where we were living, and had my studio upstairs. And through that's how we came together. That's how we met. And
Yeah, we met before.
we met before through the shop, through the business. And he was buying organic produce from us. But then we had a big tragedy. I had a big tragedy in my life when the fires came through, and the big New South Wales fires, 2019. And I lost my home, my permaculture farm that we had set up because we were building the home as a retreat, so I could bring families and do this work with them. Lost my mother's home as well. And I knew I was already sort of in friendship with Alessandro at that point in time. And he was starting to come into the shop and give us advice on certain management things in the shop. And I said, that's it. I need to train with him. I need someone there for me to get through this next hurdle, and help me through. I needed my mind super strong, because I had four children to support, my mother and so on, and this shop, this business, and of course recovery from this tragic event. So that's when we started to actually work with each other. He was training me, but then he was, of course, starting to employ the hygienic methods.
So we were, helping each other in both businesses. So I was helping at the shop, and then introducing also, my business by myself at the time. But then I started to train the family and train Sophie. And Sophie really needed for a mental reason, which is also for me probably connecting what I was talking before. I didn't have the self, didn't need the self-talk, because if I feel good physically, I feel powerful. I feel powerful in my mind naturally, because the physiology always have an effect in our mental state. If we are lazy, we let the problems, get into us. So not just effect, just a matter of how we think, but sometimes we need to shift some things physically. If we start moving, as you said, you produce a different feeling, and if you feel better, you feel stronger here. You make different decision. You make faster decision. So by starting to working together, basically was an opportunity for us to knowing each other deeper, because I didn't know at that time exactly what she could do, what she study, and her natural power. I knew some of it, so we were connected and we were cooperating, but that's all. And same for her. She didn't know all my studying, so she had the opportunity to know it and test it. And then we realized that actually the company was born before our personal relationship, and it was born organically in a way that in a shop, when we realized what we really could do, we said, God, we can have that one-stop hub that is, it can provide all these services without sending people here and there, because we have so many skills between us and so much experience that we can do that. So that excitement of just talking about it, we got the first two clients asking, where can I start? Just because they that energy, and it was attracting them. The company wasn't, the Vital Health NHP wasn't there yet.
And of course, we started to, get these amazing results, Once we combined our skills, and this is what, led us to forming our signature program, Bridge to Freedom, and where we work on the seven pillars of health concurrently with a person, but it's a fully bespoke program. It's concierge wellness at its finest. Like, we bring everything to that person that they need. We're assessing them all the time, and it's dynamic. So we started getting these, incredible results with these people, and then word of mouth, and that's the rest is history.
But
So
it was all natural.
totally organic.
It was meant to be. Both of you are very intuitive, and you're connected to the life force within, and you're living your true nature and purpose. And, I
Absolutely.
believe we're all here to be of service, whether it's to ourselves, others, or the planet. And you're very genuine and authentic and have that desire to help people to be the best version of themselves. And that's great. And we're all individuals, we're all unique. And it's great that you have uniquely tailor-made programs for everyone to suit their needs. And I know you have a wonderful event coming up in Lake Como in Italy. Can
Yeah.
you talk about that?
That is going to be a beautiful, transformative, immersive, holistic experience. And for me also, of course, is where I come from. So it's also bring people home. But the benefits also for the people that are going to participate is they're there with a local, person, which is always different. But we designed this beautiful retreat based off everything that we said and all our values. To bring people inside this amazing environment because it's inside the 3 hectares of natural reserve on the tip of Lake Como. And there is an organic farm inside that. So with organic products, and they can design the meals just for us, exactly the way we were talking, at the right, the right food, at the right time, at the right, in the right way and combination. And we will have, starting with gentle gratitude and then movement because it's part of it, but it's for everyone in a way that I can adapt. Everything is not a competition, is all about feeling great and it's all about quality,
And
activating,
activating the
feeling
body.
alive, feeling good vibration and energy. And then we will have workshops every day because we give people exactly what they need to get the transformation and restore. We call it disconnect to reconnect. So someone is feeling, a bit stressed, or even business owners that we know that, stress is catching up because you always go, go, go. You don't have time for yourself or not enough. You need to disconnect from your routine to reconnect to yourself. That's perfect. The workshop is even if we give everything that they need, we want to educate them. Why are we eating that way? Why are we moving in that way? Why are we resting? Every little details. We will have also afternoon, it could be other activities that someone can join, or if you feel that you want to rest, there is a spa. There is a tennis court, there is a sauna,
And
there
of
is all
course,
the
beautiful
comfort,
nature all
lots of
around.
nature. We will have other guests, important guests, including a world-class athlete. One of my mentors in Italy, she specialized in fascia and movement. And
And then private sessions as well. We'll be there to assess people and give them their roadmap basically forward. So if they have a serious condition they've not been able to solve so far, and they really want to get on track, that's what this retreat's going to do for them.
so we can address things specifically as well.
And it's involving follow-up as well with them, so they'll be in contact with us afterwards as
And
well.
then we couldn't miss an entire day on the boat on Lake Como
Oh,
because
that would be wonderful. I love Lake Como. I just feel so peaceful when you're there. And of course, you've got the famous George Clooney used to own a house there as well. And the James Bond movie, my friend and I nearly bought an apartment in the villa where he did the one of his movies there. So there's a lot of attractions and going up the hills on the funiculars and
And
so
the
much to
energy.
do there.
The
And of
energy of the
course,
place is amazing too.
yeah, Italians are so welcoming and friendly and loving, and it's just a magical experience. So where
Yes.
will people find the information?
You can find information on our website under events on vitalhealthnhp.com.au or following us on social media. We always have a link in our bios. And yeah, we got also a special offer at the moment for early birds because this is going to be exclusive. It's not a 100 people retreat.
No.
It's gonna just for a few people because it's about quality.
Exactly, and tailor-made. And as this is a health and wellness podcast, can you each individually tell me what is your must-do health?
But for me, definitely movement, because
Yes.
if I don't move again, it's not the only thing. It's always the seven pillars. But
Yeah.
definitely, the movement for me changed my mood. So it changed the action that I take in the other pillars. It doesn't let me feel lazy. So I'm more
Yeah.
active in my mind as well. And is helping the self-confidence when you are out there, when you have challenges, when you need other people to feel your energy. For me, it's all starting there.
Great. And
And of course,
Sophie?
yes, for me, with that, with the psychology in mind as well, is of course cleaning the body is vital, and fruits are the most powerful food that we can eat for this purpose. So without the fruits, we don't get the hydration that we need. We don't get the right sugars that our brain needs and our muscles need at the right time. But you've got to eat fruits at the right time, of course. But they're like nature's powerhouse. So, if people want to get off supplementation, then fruits are an absolute must.
And
Great.
talking
And
about food, there is a myth that is simply to understand. Many
yeah.
times, many times there is, people think that food is energy, right?
Yes.
So how can we explain? But food needs to be, again, following the right cycles of the
Yeah, and
body.
I guess the right portions. Yes.
Yeah, but the right time. Because what happened when we celebrate as Italian, and we are specialized in that and celebrating
Yeah.
with food, and food is the way to welcome people. What happened when we eat too much? We have more energy or less energy?
Obviously less.
Less energy. We need to fall asleep to try to digest it. So
Yeah.
it's not completely true that food is energy. You need the right food at the right time in the right way.
So what I was going to add is about the fruits, and it goes along with this, is that fruits also bring that sweetness to your life, and life needs to be sweet. And that's of course why we are hosting this retreat in Italy too, because
Yeah.
who does the sweet life better than the
We
Italians?
need to live with
So
passion.
when we are, for our mind to shift, for that balance to come back in our body, we have to make sure that our soul has what it needs as well. So fruits bring a lot to the soul.
That's absolutely singing and warming my heart, because I totally think we have to listen to our soul and do whatever makes our hearts sing. And you two have nailed it. And it's been an absolutely wonderful conversation. You've both unpacked a lot, so I'm sure we'll have to have you both back on the show, especially about the home birthing and different things, because you've got so much wisdom and experience and knowledge to share the audience. I'll put all your links in the bio. And I just want to say, keep shining. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
And thank you so much, Beverly, because it's because of people like you, to get this knowledge out there in the world, that we can help people who are, underprivileged as well, people who have not been given, the right education and do not have all the resources that they've needed. But if they can be educated, then there's always a way within their environment that they can be, their life can be improved. And we want to show that to people. So thank you so much for your passion and your commitment to opening people's minds and spreading the word of truth.
And sometimes for the listener, it's enough sometimes being in the right place in the right time. And even if you got 1% of what we talked about today, but it's enough to flip your life and is that thing that is motivating you to make the right change, well, we still have done our job and we are grateful for that.
Yes.
Thank you. I got goosebumps. Thank
Yeah.
you.